You will find the reading from Isaiah, chapter 40, on page 723. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I say, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young.
Isn't Christmas great? I'm excited about food. We have steak on Christmas Day at Mum and Dad's. It's Dad's favourite, and Mum reckons you get so much turkey at Christmas, it's good to have a change on Christmas Day. But for some people, Christmas isn't all that. Yeah, many will spend Christmas night sleeping rough on the streets, or sick in bed, or alone. Yet that brokenness isn't just there in the obvious people. Money can hide a lot of things. This morning here, we may well be carrying pain and brokenness with us into the Christmas season. Where do we find comfort? Where do we who have much seek comfort this Christmas? Food and drink, presents, family, all good things. But Isaiah 40 would tell us they're cheap comforts, no matter how much money we've spent. They're good things, but if we think we'll find comfort in them, they'll merely be distractions to try and ease the brokenness of life. Treating the symptoms, but not the cause, we will, in one sense, have wasted our money this Christmas. So where do broken people find comfort this Christmas? True comfort is only found in that which is grounded in the truth, the thing that's truer than anything else, the true reason we celebrate Christmas, that in which we find the comfort our hearts so long for, that we look for in so many other things. It's the truth that the God who made us, who rules over all creation, stepped into human history as a man, that we might find true comfort in him now and forever. It's in the truth about Christmas when we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus. For it's in him that true comfort is found. It's because of Jesus that broken people like us have these words of comfort to hear today. And though he didn't know it as we do, it's because of Jesus that the prophet Isaiah has words of comfort for God's broken people to hear around 2,500 years ago. Do you have your Bibles open at the passage Barbara's read just now in Isaiah 40? And there's also a sermon outline with a service sheet, if that helps. Nelson Mandela's death was global news this month. He served over 27 years in prison on charges of conspiracy to overthrow the state. What words of comfort could you have offered a man held captive for so long? The words of comfort in Isaiah 40 are for a people who've been held captive for years. A broken people who've suffered, lived a harsh life, who would have asked the natural questions. Where are you, God? What are you doing? Do you care about us? What have we done to deserve this? How will we get out of this mess? A people who'd been in exile for years. Some may have found their niche, worked out how to get by, sought comfort in small mercies and pleasures. Whether struggling or settled, these are a people for whom life is not all it was meant to be. God's people in exile. Not just aliens and strangers, but slaves. What do you say to these people? Comfort, comfort my people, says God. There's no need for you to be this broken. No need to feel overwhelmed by the situation you find yourself in. No need to keep searching for the fleeting comfort time after time after time. The prophet Isaiah proclaims God's words to God's broken people. Comfort, comfort my people, says God. Words of comfort for God's broken people to hear. How are you doing this morning? Have you come overwhelmed by life, the busyness of it all, or the path God's taken you on? Do you feel broken, guilty about the past, or resentful? Perhaps not. Perhaps you're doing okay. Life isn't all you'd want it to be, but it's good. You feel settled, particularly looking forward to Christmas, small comforts, a break from work, maybe a holiday, family time, gifts, good food. They'll ease the burden of the last few weeks a little. If you're feeling broken this morning, comfort can be found. If you're here this morning doing okay, but have your hopes on Christmas or plans for 2014, remember Del Boy's repeated hope to Rodney in Only Fools and Horses. This time next year, Rodney, we'll be millionaires. When Christmas or 2014 leaves us wanting more, comfort can be found. Isaiah has words of comfort for God's broken people to hear. And in Jesus, those words are comfort for us too. In Jesus, we have words of comfort to hear. Our nativity scene over there on the font is rubbish. We all know it's rubbish. We haven't got all the characters, and we have characters who I've never even heard of being in the Christmas story, like the clarinet player at the front. It's true. Take a look at the end. And to top it all off, the clarinet player and someone else both had their heads fall off. I have to say, I'm not overly excited by our nativity scene. But I wonder if this is actually our response to the Christmas story as a whole. You know, what really excites you about Christmas? Turkey and sausages and presents and no work or school, holiday? Does the thought of the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay excite your heart as much as the present you're most looking forward to? I know in my head he should, that it's not even in the same ballpark. But does he, really? God's exiled people who hear Isaiah's words would have been gobsmacked. They're in exile for their unfaithfulness to God, for rebelling against him. And yet into that situation, Isaiah speaks words of comfort and of hope. I've picked out six promises God makes to his people. Promises for them that in the Lord Jesus are as true for us today as a wayward, broken people. As they were for the original hearers. The promises God makes to his people are all ours in Jesus. Let's delight in the birth of the Lord Jesus this Christmas as the one in whom we all become recipients of all God's promises through faith in him. For all God's promises are yes in Jesus? Are we as gobsmacked at these promises as they were? Promises that rest on who God is, not at all upon who we are. We should be as gobsmacked at these promises and comforted to know that whoever we are, whatever our past or however we feel about the brokenness of life in the present, this God, through faith in the Lord Jesus, is our God. Our God. For that's the first word of comfort to our hearts. God is our God. God has a people. I once wandered off and got lost in Tesco and had my name called out over the tannoy. Not recently, when I was a child. And my mum was there, her child. I still am. She wasn't just going to leave me because I'm stupid and wandered off. Isaiah's words to God's people in verse 1, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. You are still his people. God hasn't forsaken you. As Christians, we can believe the lie that God's turned his back on us. When the brokenness of life overwhelms us, suffering or sadness or busyness or anxiety or whatever circumstance it may be, whether under God's discipline, for the Bible tells us God disciplines his children, or whether we've just been caught up in the brokenness of the world around us, God will never, ever turn his back on his people. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Words of comfort to hear. God has a people. God has a people. And so God has plans for his people. Another word of comfort to our hearts. Where did you spend last New Year? Are you someone who gets reflective at New Year? I am. New Year's both a time of looking back and looking forward. New Year's resolutions. Did you make one? How's it been? What are your hopes or plans for 2014? Those of us with children, what are your hopes or plans for your children? God has plans for his people. He's our God and we are his people. Through faith in the Lord Jesus, our heavenly Father with his children, we are his people and so God has plans for us. Take comfort that he holds in his hand our life and all our ways. God has plans for his people. Plans, as the prophet Jeremiah tells God's people, ultimately to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Plans, as the apostle Paul tells God's people, for the good of those who love him, to be conformed into the likeness of his son. Plans to make us more like the Lord Jesus. Plans, as Isaiah says in verse 2 here, that include our forgiveness. In fact, more than that, not plans to forgive us in the future, but God's people are forgiven. God's people are forgiven. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, verse 2, and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double or a match equivalent for all her sins. What? The end of exile, it's done, it's over, it's paid for. Maybe we understand the poignancy of the phrase a little better in it is finished. God's people are forgiven. How's that possible? Can 70 years of exile really pay for the rebellion that had gone on for generations? No. But their sin has been paid for. This promise of forgiveness has more depth than Isaiah gives here. But by chapter 53, things are clearer. The suffering servant, it is finished. How God can forgive his people is unclear here. But that they are forgiven is certain. As one writer notes, you're forgiven, your sin has been paid for, your hard labour is over. What more comforting truth could there be for a broken people than that? Where do we feel the burden of our sin this morning? Could God forgive me when I can't forgive myself? If only he knew what I'm like, he does. And his word of comfort to you this morning, for all those trusting in the Lord Jesus, God's people are forgiven. His words on the cross, it is finished. God's work to secure our forgiveness, what we might call undeserved grace. God giving us what we don't deserve. We find forgiveness not because of any merit on our part, but because God has acted to rescue his people. Do we believe that? Dare we believe that? We ought to. It's exactly Isaiah's message to God's people in verses 3 to 5. In April 2011, crowds lined the mall ahead of the royal wedding. Perhaps some of us here were there. If you stood at one end, you could look up to Buckingham Palace, a path of dark red tarmac clear, with throngs of well-wishers on either side, waiting for the royals to pass by in all their splendour. God is coming, verse 3. Prepare the way for the Lord, a highway for our God. Not the mall, but a path of glorious splendour. The path God will take to come and rescue the exiles. An unknown voice calls out, God is coming, make the preparations. The God of creation enters into his creation to rescue his people. And we're here at Christmas with the angel saying to Joseph, Mary will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Matthew goes on to say that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The God of creation enters into his creation to rescue his people. God is coming. Prepare the way for the Lord. The voice is unknown at this point, but as we read earlier in Mark, the voice has a name, John the Baptist. He's the fulfillment of the unknown voice, preparing the way for God's stepping into creation in the person of the Lord Jesus. Clear the way. God has acted to rescue his people. Words of comfort to hear. We're not waiting for God to do anything. There's no need to think God's unwilling or unable. God has acted already to rescue his people. He stepped into human history at a particular time and in a particular place. God's acted to rescue us in Jesus. Can you be forgiven? Can you escape your past and its consequences? Yes. Karma simply isn't true. Justice, yes. But that's the outrage of God's work through the Lord Jesus. God gives us what we don't deserve. We're not doomed to reap the consequences of our brokenness over and over again in our lives. There is hope and there is forgiveness. But only if we keep hold of the basis on which hope and forgiveness is found. That there is a creator God who can break into human history and change lives. The hope of the world rests on that little baby born in a manger. Why would we trade him for Father Christmas? Will we find comfort there? It sounds absurd, but that's what we do. Or all of us, even as Christians, when we buy into, forget, reject the true meaning of Christmas. Brothers and sisters, never think you've grown up so much that you don't need to put your full weight on that baby in the manger. And all he did for us in his life, his death, and his resurrection. God changes lives. God changes our eternity, our direction in life. So surely we can trust him to change our daily circumstances. If we believe in the God of the Bible, creator, all-powerful and loving, willing and able to act for us. If God is who he claims to be, then surely all things are possible with God, even such an outrageous rescue plan. And it is an outrageous rescue plan. Some of us will remember Blackadder. His dimwit assistant, Baldric, would often have a cunning plan, which was entirely useless. One cunning plan to escape the guillotine involved waiting until your head's been cut off, then springing to action and running out the farmyard gate in the style of a chicken. Is God's rescue plan as outrageously stupid as that? A simply impossible plan? Do not fear. Hear the words of comfort. God is all-powerful. He can bring about such a rescue. What power does God have to change human lives? Who can stand against the army who've taken God's people captive, who've devastated the land and carried them into exile? Are Isaiah's words a joke? The human race is so clever and so powerful, always advancing and developing. We've been to the moon, we've split the atom. Corporations hold our future in their hands. One moment we have a job, then next not. We fear the power they have to change our lives. Governments can introduce legislation, sometimes the result of which means it will be harder for God's people. And ultimately, death hangs over us all. For we all die, and then what do we have? Others will get what we've prepared for ourselves. What can we do? What can anyone do? There's such a contrast in verses 6 and 7. When you look at the power of man, Isaiah proclaims, remember, that power is as fleeting as the flowers of the field. Like the dandelion we pick from the grass and blow until all the little white flowers are dispersed. That's the power of man compared to the power of God. Take comfort that the God who is your God is all-powerful. His enemies, those who stand against him, are nothing in comparison, though they feel so big and powerful. It's a glorious contrast here. God's power and might compared to man's frailty. And a reminder too of our frailty. Yeah, even as God's people, what seems impossible to us is possible with God. The brokenness that seems impossible to get past in our lives. You know, pain and suffering, rejection and loneliness. They do overwhelm us. But they're nothing in that sense to God. God has the power to change human lives. Even the greatest enemy we face, death. In Jesus, God's defeated death. The baby born in a manger who lived and died and rose again. The power of death defeated in him. That those who trust in him may too know the power of new life. In Jesus, even death has been swallowed up in victory. Israel couldn't save themselves. We cannot save ourselves. God's rescue is God's rescue. Of course, salvation's from God alone, but that's great news because God can do what we can't. Whatever lies ahead, God, the God who is their God, who is our God through faith in the Lord Jesus, is all powerful. Words of comfort to hear. Trusting in this God, trusting in the Lord Jesus, is therefore the only place we'll find the comfort our hearts long for. This Christmas, don't be distracted from that. Be reminded where our trust lies and be comforted by that. God is all powerful, and so verse 8, God's word, of course, never fails. God's word never fails. The banking industry is taking a turn for the worse in recent years. Outrageous bonuses and dodgy dealings have been a feature in the popular press for a long time now. We've moved far from the old principle of the London Stock Exchange that my word is my bond. The promises of God are as reliable as the God who speaks them. What of God's word? God's word really is his bond. An unbreakable bond. And it's because of verses 6 to 7 that Isaiah proclaims in verse 8 that the word of our God stands forever. God's word never fails. One writer says of verse 8 that whatever may lie ahead for the Israelites, they may know that God's word of promise will not fail them. Can you really believe what you read in the Bible about who we are, who God is? The consequences of living as if we're God in our lives. Yet the God who, in spite of that, came to earth in the person of the Lord Jesus to rescue us. Can you really find comfort in God's promise that even in the midst of the storms of life, he will be with us always to the very end of the age? Yes. God's word never fails because it's the word of the all-powerful God who, verse 11, loves his people. Have confidence in the word of God. Words of comfort for us to hear. I can only echo Isaiah's words at the end of verse 9. If you're a Christian this morning, if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus, here is your God. If you sit here overwhelmed and burdened, lacking assurance, struggling with sin, questioning how God could ever forgive you, angry or upset with the path God's taken you on, lonely or overworked, ill or suffering, these words of Isaiah 40 are words of comfort for you to hear. Here is your God. These are words of comfort for you, for us to hear. On verses 9 to 11, they are words of comfort for you, for us to tell. Verse 9, you who have been comforted, take those words of comfort out to others. Become part of God's work, proclaimers of the good news that's comforted you. Such words of comfort as Isaiah proclaims here and as we see fulfilled through faith in the Lord Jesus are so good and so important that they simply cannot and must not be held on to. It's news to be shouted out to one another and to the world. What words to focus us this Christmas? Baby Jesus was born in a stable, rubbish. Baby Jesus, here is your God. Not that he is coming, but that he has come. The rescuer has come. And our world isn't so different from the context Isaiah speaks more directly into. One writer notes that we live in an age where people don't believe God can deliver them either. They don't even believe they need delivering. The people in Isaiah's time needed to hear the word of God in ways that changed how they thought. We in our world desperately need this too. Shout it out. Do not be afraid, says Isaiah. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Quoting Isaiah, the Apostle Paul goes on to say, but how then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We are, as Christians, in one sense, all sent. And we go sent, not on our own, but with the one who is Emmanuel, God with us. Let me close with Jesus' own words to his followers. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. There is comfort in Christmas. In the truth about Christmas, words of comfort for us to hear this morning, and words of comfort to tell. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that every promise you make is yes to us in the Lord Jesus. As we stand on the edge of Christmas, please may this coming week be a time when we stand in wonder of all you've done for us in the coming of this child, your son, his life, death, and resurrection. Through faith in the Lord Jesus, comfort our hearts this morning, however broken we may feel. Give us confidence to stand on every promise of your word and to take those words of comfort out, to remind and encourage one another and to take those words of comfort out to a world that so desperately needs the baby in the manger, who is Lord of all creation. In his name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.